You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we pray that the truth of our faith, the truth of the gospel, would speak now to our deepest subjective need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And yesterday I spoke to you from the epistle to James, and from James, and today I'm going to speak to you from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Here begins the 12th verse of the 15th chapter of St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. One particular person who has had a huge impact in my life and ministry in New York City was a man by the name of B.J. Weber. And B.J. had this incredible, incredible ministry of hospitality. He ran the New York Fellowship and was the founder of the New Canaan Society and a chaplain to firefighters and the New York Yankees. And when you went to his home, you always had this sense of being loved and cared for. And at his dinner, B.J. would always get his guests to open up, especially men, by asking these interesting what-if questions. And he skillfully had the ability to move the conversation, move men from the cursory, like, what if you could speak to your five-year-old self? What would you say to your five-year-old self? To the actually sagacious and profound. What if, you never had to work again a day in your life? What would you do for Jesus? I sat around that table and I would watch men over a bottle of wine and a hot bowl of chili open up. John Hilter, a member of the Forbes Business Council, says in business that what if question, when utilized properly, has the power to open us up to new possibilities we never imagined, because in the right environment, the question, what if, can psychologically trigger pathways between the imagination and the heart. However, he goes on to say, in the wrong hands, in the wrong situation, sometimes in the wrong brain like my own, the what if question can be crippling. What if I do this and so gets really angry with me? You know, what if we do this and nobody comes? Maybe you've done the same thing, you know? What if I quit my job, but then I can't find a new one? You know, what if I really followed my dream and I fail miserably? That what if question is really, really important. In the early days of the church, there was a tremendous expectation that Jesus was going to come back at any second. You know, he was going to return within those first Christians' lifetime. Yet as that first generation began to die, people were being kicked out of their home synagogues. They were being disowned by their family. Shortly later, there was persecution and martyrdom. And as a result, the Christians in the church of Corinth began to ask this very profound and important question. It's a what-if question. And it's a question maybe you've asked yourself. This is my first point, the question that they were beginning to ask in Corinth, and the question maybe you've asked yourself is, what if we misunderstood the gospel? What if there's no resurrection from the dead? What if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead? You see, when it comes to the Christian faith, the question, what if, takes us to the very heart. It takes us to the very meaning and the essence of the gospel. The question, what if, is the connection between the historical and the deeply existential. It is the connection between the objectivity of faith and your deeply, deeply subjective experience. When it came to addressing these questions by the Corinthians, the key issue that St. Paul faced, and it's still the case today, is that the resurrection of Jesus, the physical resurrection of the dead, is actually a foreign concept to all of us. I mean, there's only been one. For example, in the pantheon of the Greco-Roman world, well, there was a whole movement now that maybe we just died and we died. But in the pantheon of the Greco-Roman, like, gods and their world, dead people, they may have gone off to a different dimension. You know, you may have crossed the river Styx. Come sail away, come sail away. That was supposed to be screamingly funny. But anyway, did anybody see that episode of The Simpsons? But they believed in life after death, but not a resurrection from the dead. This is interestingly becoming more and more common in American thought. You know, this idea that we sail off somewhere as an orb or a phantom or a spirit and we're all looking down, like, you know, your grandmother's looking down on you. How does that make you feel when you're in the bathroom? But but this idea that we're all orbs floating on, that is, and going somewhere else, that is a pagan concept. That is not a Christian one. The Christian word is they died, not passed or passed on, and soon it's just going to be they pass. But, this was the idea in the pagan world. You went off somewhere, but you weren't coming back. N.T. Wright, in his book, The Resurrection of the Son of God, he points out that amongst the Jews, well, their focus was on the present life and maintaining their current covenant relationship between themselves and God. Hence, especially amongst the Pharisees, the observance of the law, the here and the now, right now, was the focus. There was a messianic expectation, but nobody expected the Messiah to die and rise again. You know, a Messiah hanging on a tree, count me out. And in our own day, a recent survey done by Lifeway Publishing found that 66%, 2 out of 3 Americans, they believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. However, of that 66%, only half of them believe that the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead matters to their faith at all. Or in other words, unlike that 2001 total cinematic flop starring Antonio Banderas, you know, The Body, am I the only one? The one that, it's the one that involved an Israeli archaeologist who claimed she found the body of Jesus. And the Catholic Church tries to cover it up because it's a disaster. Well, for most of these people, none of that matters anyway. You don't need to cover it up because it doesn't really matter. What ultimately matters to these 33% is that Christianity works for them. You know, Christianity makes me calmer. It makes me nicer. Christianity gives me a sense of community and tradition. What matters is that Christianity is pragmatic. Pragmatism defines American religion. But pragmatism is not Christianity, my brothers and sisters. What if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead? Well, to many today, because Christianity is pragmatic, it really doesn't matter. It's a great story. It works for me. And to all three of these objections, you know, we're going somewhere, but we're never coming back. It's all that matters is the here and the now. What matters is that religion works for me. To all three of those objections, St. Paul says, hogwash. Hogwash. And why? Because your subjective feelings then are completely out of step with the objective facts on the ground. Paul's argument to the Corinthians, questioning the resurrection from the dead, is not, "That's great, everyone. Christianity works for you. Keep on working it. It works if you work it." Rather, for Paul, if Jesus is not physically raised from the dead, physically, not an orb, but physically, your feelings and your community and your faith is actually based on a total lie. Paul says the Christian faith is in vain, or in the Greek, it is emptied. It's a husk. And in fact, Paul says that he and every preacher of the gospel is found to be misrepresenting God. I mean, if there is no God, well, there's no hope. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And if Odin, or my favorite, Quetzalcoatl, is God, and you're not offering a fresh human heart on the regular, you know, if Allah is God, and you're not doing the five pillars of Islam, because, you know, I and all of the clergy here at the Advent have been talking to you about the grace of God, well, you are in trouble. And I am definitely in trouble, especially before Quetzalcoatl. I mean, he demanded total obedience, and all he wanted was your heart. Because St. Paul and everyone here has been misrepresenting God. And this is my second point. What Paul is declaring is that the Christian faith is not rooted in our subjectivity, nor is it rooted in some sort of abstract philosophical debate. For Paul, Christ's resurrection wasn't, you know, maybe it happened, we'll never really know, but it's a wonderful time to get the family sort of thing together. Rather, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, was an objective fact in history. It actually happened. And St. Paul claims he saw the resurrected Jesus with his very own eyes. And when he was confronted by Christ on the road to Damascus, it changed everything for him. St. John says the very same thing in his epistle. That which we've seen, that which we've touched, that which we've heard, we now proclaim to you. St. James gives a similar statement. What if, then, here becomes the question. What if Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead? Well, here's the good news. Because the gospel is historical and objective, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, brothers and sisters, your faith is not in vain. In a world where we're constantly sold a bag of goods, and we're constantly wondering who or what we can trust, Jesus' resurrection proves that God's love for you is stronger than death. And the good news of the gospel is that as you face your death, Jesus and your faith in him is absolutely trustworthy. And you can count on him to see you through your darkest hour and even death itself into the age that is to come, where you will see our Lord face to face, and not as a stranger, but as a friend. Because Jesus Christ has physically risen from the dead, so will you. And therefore, when you hear the words of St. Paul, when you hear the words of a preacher delivering the gospel, not life tips, when you hear the words of St. Paul, when you hear the words of a preacher delivering not the latest opinions from your favorite political pundits, but when you hear a preacher giving you the gospel, the words of life, that on account of Jesus' death and resurrection, you can rest assured that God is most certainly not misrepresented. When the preacher says your sins are forgiven And because it has been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that God is no liar and that this message that I herald to you today is totally true. And this objective historical truth called the gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it should encourage you and lift up your soul, because most importantly, it declares objectively that we are not in our sins, but that our sins have been forgiven. Everybody here today, everybody in this sanctuary needs forgiveness. This is the motto of my church: enjoy your forgiveness, because we long for it. The guilt we feel, the shame we feel, the fear we feel, are the fruit of alienation that comes from a lack of forgiveness, that gives rise to the negative what-if questions in our life. But St. Paul says, because Jesus rose from the dead, forgiveness is an unequivocal fact between you and God. Because Christ rose from the dead, you are no longer in your sins. Everything is forgiven. You will rise from the dead, and you are that free right now. What if Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Well, let me tell you, he did. And this is my third point. What this means is the achievement of the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is in actual real history, was such a decisive and powerful event that through that event, God by the Holy Spirit continues to speak to you and speak to you in your deepest longings. You are forgiven. You are justified. God loves you. This is no pragmatic Hallmark sentimentality that I tell you today. What we are engaged in as Christians is historical fact. And this fact silences the negative what-ifs in our life. It silences the negative what-ifs that hold us back because of fear, guilt, and shame. What if you could do anything? Because Jesus rose from the dead, you're actually that free. You are free to forgive. You are free to love. You are free to serve. You are free to live your life by faith in Jesus, who was crucified, died, and risen, and most certainly coming again, all for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.